Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you all here this morning. We will get our class started. Good to see you. I think as we get going, we may have a few more that come and go. We're already cutting out. So a few more that come as we go through the class, because I think the high school through on up are going to be in here. So glad to have all of you here, all smiling faces in person, and glad to have all of you here online. I said we didn't want any surprises this morning, didn't want and of course the Grillmans have to do something with that, right? We'll try it, and if it worse comes to worse, we'll get the portable. All right. Somewhere along the way, right? Now, see, Randy, all we have to do now is say we've got that one behind us and we're done. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Let's begin our time with a prayer. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for the crisp, cool morning, the bright sunshine, for all the blessings you bring to us to remind us that you are the Almighty God who has set things in their season and set all of creation in its place. And before sin entered this world, you could look at your creation and deem it well. It is good, because all that you had created was where it was supposed to be, doing what you had designed it to do. Father, we look for that day, and as the church, we seek to the best of our ability in a broken and fallen world, as broken and fallen people, to restore the goodness of your creation. Help us to be strong in our love for you and strong in our love for others. Help us to be strong in our desire to be light and salt to a world that desperately needs it. We pray your blessings on this day, our Friends and Family Day, that we might have many, many friends and family to visit with and to enjoy, to strengthen our bonds. And pray, Father, if there's a soul who is in need of a family, a church family, or someone to come alongside, that they might find that family here. Ask your forgiveness when we fail you. Ask you to strengthen us where you know we're weak. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know about you guys, but I know at least one time this morning, I said, well, I'm headed to church. I'm going to church. It's good to see everybody who decided to come to church this morning, and glad that we're at church this morning. And if you're like me, maybe one time this morning you said, we're going to church. Or if you have kiddos, it's like, hurry up, get up out of bed, get dressed, finish your breakfast, because we've got to go to church. We've got to leave for church. We've got to go to church. I would love to have, if it's ready to go, I'd love to try it again. So, anybody like me? I'm going to church this morning? Yeah. Let me see if we can get back into a...
We just got some bad news. I'm going to leave that one up there.
All right. Now we're here. All right. Hey. Little, you know, they say simple things entertain simple minds. So, all right. I can move now. I'm not tied to a leash. This weekend, Jen and I went to the movies. And we really didn't go to the movies. We went to a movie theater to watch a movie. Right? We didn't go to the movies. We went to a movie theater. And it's just easier to say, went to the movies. The same thing's true as going to church. It's easier to say, I'm going to church, than I'm going to the church building to be the church. Right? But really, honestly, according to Scripture, who or what is the church? Yeah, we are. We are the church. And so as Jesus builds his church, he builds it with you and me. He builds us. We are the church. So we're going to the church building to be the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, says, "As you come to him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Wouldn't it be great if, when somebody came to this area, they said, and asked, "Where's the church?" Well, we call this the Church of Christ on Elwood Avenue, right? This is the church building. I think it'd be fantastic. In fact, I think it'd be very biblical if, instead of pointing to a church building, "There's the church," someone would point to you and go, "There's the church, and there's the church, and there's the church, and the church is over there, and the church is over here. Here's the church." Because we are the church. We are being built up into living stones to offer spiritual sacrifices. So how does Jesus build Christians into his church? Well, this morning, we're going to look at one way to answer that question. There's probably several different ways to answer that question. This morning, we're going to look at one. And it's the one another passages in Scripture. Pardon me. We're going to look at the one another passages in Scripture. Some of your translations say "each other." Some say "yourselves" or "themselves." It's the Greek alleleon, alleleon. But we're going to look at the one another passages because they occur some 100 times in Scripture. No, we're not going to look at 100 passages. But we're going to look at those. Jesus uses that phrase "one another" 16 times in his discourse. And so we're going to look at the one another passages to see how Jesus builds his church. And so the first we're going to look at is the church that loves one another. The church Jesus builds loves one another. This comes from Romans 13, verse 8. It says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man fulfills the law." Now, Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and there's a lot of folks there who are concerned about fulfilling the law. For them, the law of Moses. A lot of people concerned about what it looks like to fulfill the law of Moses. So you know what that looks like? Love one another. Love one another. The third century theologian, Origen, put it this way: "Let your only debt that is unpaid be that of love, a debt which you should always be attempting to discharge in full, but never succeed in discharging." The one debt that we keep paying into and we keep making deposits in, but we never pay off, is the call to love one another. John 4, verse 7 and 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." We sing a song like that, don't we? So twice in John's letter, he declares that God is love. God, if you want one word to describe God, if you want one word to describe his character, his person, his personality, love. Love governs every one of God's actions, every thought, every command, every discipline. Everything that comes from God comes out of his love. Even his discipline, even the hard days, the difficult times. And since God is love, all true love comes from him. So when we love one another the way God loves us, we're giving evidence to our own salvation. It says in verse 7, we're born of God and God and know God. So one of the things we can do is love one another. One of the characteristics of how to build, he's building his church, is calling the church members, the bricks in the mortar, to love one another. Another one of those is the church Jesus builds serves one another. Serves one another. That comes from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature of the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love." So here in this passage, freedom is called an opportunity. You were called to be free, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity to indulge a sinful nature. The New American Standard says, "Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." The Revised Standard says, "Do not use your freedom as opportunity for the flesh." And that word, the opportunity, opportunein in the Greek, opportunein, originally served as a military term. It was a military term referring to a base of operations, a starting point. If you had a base of operations where you started your maneuvers from, that was your opportunity, your beginning. And so what he's saying here is loving one another, serving one another is an opportunity here. The freedom that God gives us in Christ Jesus is a starting point for serving others. Now, we're freed from sin, we're freed from Satan, we're freed from slavery to those. We're free to follow Christ. We're freed from the futility of trying to be good enough to go to heaven. We're freed from trying to keep rules well enough that we have a place in heaven. We're freed from all of those things. But it's not a freedom so we can do whatever we want to indulge ourselves. It's not freedom for self-indulgence. It's freedom as a base of opportunity to serve others. Now, I hope you're willing to indulge a little silliness here. I don't think it's really silly. If I did, I wouldn't be doing it. But it's going to be different. I hope you're willing to indulge some different. I think this congregation is about 40 years old, if I'm not mistaken. So is there anybody here this morning that's been part of Glenpool Church of Christ since the start, since the beginning? All right. Anybody been here 30 years? All right, Bruce. All right. I need one of you to come down here for a second with me. I'm not going to ask you to speak. You don't have to do anything fancy. I just want you to get one of you who's willing to come down here with me. And I didn't see Connor. Connor, yeah, I think one of our newest members. So, Connor, I need you too, brother. Can you do that? And I need somebody who's a visitor. After all, you can't come visit without at least maybe embarrassed once. So I'm going to call him a visitor. Anybody, any visitors? All right, Cana, I gave you a heads up. I warned Cana ahead of time. I want you guys to pick something over here. Pick one of these colors over here. It doesn't matter which. Just pick whichever one you want. And to the best of your ability, the throat's kind of small on this little vase, but to the best of your ability, I want you to stand around the vase together and at the same time kind of pour whatever color you pick, whichever one you want. Now come around here in the vase and just unscrew the top of it. Can you come over here with me? Or Bruce? Yeah, there you go, Bruce. That's a sharp shirt you're wearing there. Come on. Yeah. Now, just pour it in. Just go as best you can together on top of each other. Just get right in there. Pour on top of them. Knock them out of the way if you have to. There you go. All right. Well, you guys are cleaner than I thought you'd be. That's pretty. I'm impressed. Well, never mind. It's impossible to do neatly, isn't it? So don't worry about cleaning it up. We're good. All right. Thank you guys very much. Now I got to check a little something here. Oh, okay. All right. Y'all welcome to go back to your seats. Thank you very much. All right. We serve one another. We love one another. The church that Jesus builds carries each other's burdens. This comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. What are some of the burdens that you and I carry in the church? Or what doesn't have to be in the church? What are some of the burdens you and I carry just as living, breathing individuals? Somebody help me with that. Anybody, any burdens you're carrying today? Loss of a loved one. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a heavy burden. And they say time heals all wounds. I'm not sure that's true. I think time just teaches you how to deal with it, right? Loss of a loved one. Give me another burden that's in here this morning.
Chronic pain.
Are you feeling good today? It's just how bad are you feeling today? Can you get up and get around? Yeah, chronic pain. The one that won't go away. What else? Any other burdens? Say again? Yeah, being a Christian example. You know, if we take our faith seriously, it's not a walk in the park, is it? I mean, loving one another, serving one another, caring for one another, bearing each other's burdens, this is a high call. And so if we take our walk seriously, then we realize that we have a high call to make. Sin. The burdens that we carry are our own sins if we're open to thinking about ourselves honestly. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
sins of our loved ones, people who seem to be caught up in sin, the burden of sin, the burden of suffering, the burden of sorrow. And these things weigh us down. And the call here for carrying each other's burdens is that we as brothers and sisters of Christ pitch in and help each other carry that burden. I can't take the pain, but I can be sensitive and I can be caring and I can ask. I love it when we had an elder in Texas where I came from that every once in a while you'd walk down the hall and say, "Hi, how are you?" And that's not really a question, right? It's just a greeting. And the proper answer is, "I'm fine, how are you?" And so that's really, nobody's asking really, "How are you doing?" It's the way of saying hello. But every once in a while, Doug would say, "No, seriously, stop. How are you doing? Tell me what's going on. I really want to know what's going on in your world." That's how you help carry each other's burdens. You pray for each other. You fellowship with each other. You encourage one another. You pitch in to help carry. It's like a traveler and someone helps carry their luggage. You come alongside and help carry some luggage. Pardon me. All right. Who wants to do a little more silliness? I need somebody who's been on this earth for a little while. And 80 is too young, so I need somebody who's been on this earth longer than that, who's willing to admit it. I'm not going to ask you your age, but I need somebody who's been around for a long time. We don't have any babies in here this morning. They're all in class, which is awesome. We have tons of babies, but they're all in class. I need who's the youngest one here? And I'm kind of looking back in this little section right back here. Which one? Are you brave enough to come? Oh, no, you're not brave enough. Who's brave enough to come down? Are you brave enough to come down? Come on, sweetheart. Come on. Who's our senior diplomat here? All right, who's 88? Who's 87? Who's 86? Just pick you a color, any color you want, pick you one. 85? Do I hear 84? Going once, going twice? All right, you win the lucky prize. There's a lot of folks that are older than you that are just not admitting it. You know the truth. And grab you a color, and we're just going to do two of you guys so that you don't have to arm wrestle each other and get you a pretty color. I like that. All right. See, I thought you were going with the hot pink. All right, just come right in here and just pour it in. Together at the same time, just get in there and elbow your way in there and pour it in. There you go. Perfect, perfect. Y'all do good. I started to practice that and I thought I'd make a bigger mess if I just live with it. Thank you, guys. All right, awesome job. Yeah, y'all welcome to go sit down. I love what y'all are doing there. All right. Carries each other burdens. Bears with. Another one is bears with each other. This is a little bit different than carries each other burdens. How many of you here have ever had a rock tumbler? Anybody ever had a rock tumbler where you put the rocks in it and you sit there and it turns over? Nobody's had a rock tumbler? Oh, never mind. We'll go on the next one because that totally. Does anybody know what I'm talking about with a rock tumbler? Have I gone too far north? Okay, finally, I thought, man, I've gone to another country. Moved from Texas to Tulsa, and they told me when I moved here, you can still say y'all. That we're far enough south, I can still say y'all. So I thought maybe we'd fit, but if there's no rock tumblers, I may be wrong. I mean, so it's just a little canister that you put rocks in. If you look on the left side of the screen, the picture, they're kind of rough rocks with some sharp edges. You put them in there, and you put a little aggregate in there that kind of makes them bump up against each other, and you just sit there, and the little machine just turns them over and over and over at forever. And I mean forever. And the little ones they had that was a little kit you'd take home for his kids, they weren't quiet. And so if you learn how to live with noise in your bedroom. If you had it in your bedroom, you turn it on. If you didn't, mom and dad didn't put it in the garage, just think about that. It just sits there and rolls and rolls. What happens is once it rolls and rolls and rolls, the rocks bump into each other, they bang into each other, they hit each other. And what you come out with is the rocks on the right. And so you take some rocks, you put them in and make them bump against each other, make them rub against each other. And what they come out is beautiful. If you've seen rocks in a river, where there's smooth rocks, where they've had a lot of just the abrasion from the water going across them. That's the same principle as what you have here in a rock tumbler. Well, that's kind of that's what comes to my mind when I think about bearing with one another. And this passage comes from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Some translations talk about forbearance, same thing. Forbearance or bearing with means bearing the scars inflicted by others without bearing a grudge. Bearing the scars without bearing a grudge. All right. The church Jesus builds accepts one another. This comes from Romans chapter 5, verse 7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We talk about church family. When it's done right, when church is done right, when we build, when we fit together in the building blocks of the church like God wants us to, this is a church that acts like a family. This is a good congregation to be an example of that, I think. A church that acts like a family. You know, they say you can pick your friends, you can't pick your relatives. Well, if I read 1 Corinthians right, God picked our relatives here. God put each part of the body where he wants them to be, every one of them. And so the call is for us to work together. But sometimes that's not easy, is it? Anyone ever had some fellow church member do or say something that wounded you? That hurt? Left a scar? And if we're honest, if we've been in the church family long enough, we may have said or done something that caused a wound, left a scar, that hurt somebody. Now, the problem here is that this is just broken, fallen people trying to fit together in the very nature of broken, fallen people, which means that we're going to say things that maybe we ought not, or at least say things that not in the most gracious way. We're going to do things maybe we ought not, or do things with the very best of intentions, but still maybe they come across wrong. And so it's God knew when he designed the church that he was designing a church for broken people, for fallen people. But he knew that if we would stay together, if we would stick together, if we'd bear with one another, if we would accept one another, he knew that sooner or later what would be the result would be something beautiful. Like those rocks. Take those rough edge, square, sharp rocks and bang them together long enough. Next thing you know, they come out beautiful and smooth. That's how he designed the church. Okay, let's... We're filling up faster than I thought we were going to, so we're going to have to do a little... So let's do this. I need someone here this morning that identifies as white or Caucasian. That's most of you. So somebody pick the short straw and hop up here. I need somebody who identifies as Native American, as all right. Come on down. We got it. All right. If you would, I'm going to have you right here. You're going to be the closer, okay? You're the closer. All right, pick a color, any color you want. You ready? All right, ladies, come on, do the honors here. Okay, that's fine. Y'all are good. All right. Now you pick anyone you want and pour about half of it in there. And now we're going to have some fun with this last one. At least I hope we do. Accepts one another. Perfect. Thank you. Awesome. That's great. No, you're good right there. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That's pretty. I don't care what everybody says. That's pretty. Great job. Thanks for being a closer. All right. The church Jesus builds encourages one another. This comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Well, what he's saying, what these words, the words that he's talking about, are the words that have come before this. The words that have come before this passage talk about Christ's second coming. And there was some concern in the church in Thessalonica. What's happening to our loved ones who've already passed away? What's their fate? We have brothers and sisters in Christ, part of our church family. They've already passed away. Have they missed heaven? What a tragic thought. You already have the burden of losing a loved one. You already have the burden of missing someone that you've loved. Now, what do you do if they're not going to be in heaven? And so Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica and he encourages him. He says, not only are the people who your faithful loved ones have already passed away, not only have they not missed heaven, they're going to be in the front of the train. You know, they're the first ones. And then those of us who are alive will follow. So there's these promising words. Other promising words are that heaven's big enough to take everybody. That's in that context as well. And so there's no one's going to get there and say, I'm sorry, there's no room at the end. There's plenty of room for everyone in heaven, all the faithful. And so there's the promise that he gives the believers. And so then he says, these are the words you'd encourage each other with. Well, you've heard me say it before. There's a permanent cure for whatever ails you. There's a permanent cure for grief. There's a permanent cure for chronic pain. There's a permanent cure for sin. There's a permanent cure for depression. There's a permanent cure for cancer. There's a permanent cure for whatever ails you, and it's going home to heaven. It's going home to heaven. And so here's the words you encourage each other with. I don't have a cure for chronic ailment. I don't have a cure. One of the hardest things for me to learn as a preacher was sometimes the best thing you do is keep your mouth shut. I don't teach you that in preaching school very much. But when you come along to somebody who's hurting, sometimes the best you can do is just put your arm around them and cry with them. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is try to make it better with words, because the words just can't fix it. But there is a word from God that's a fix for whatever ails us, and that is there's a home in heaven for us. This is our wilderness wandering, and these are tents that we live in. Temporary. Not permanent. Temporary. And so the call is for us to be people who wander the wilderness looking for the promised land. And the promised land cures whatever ails us. We encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in the same letter, we continue, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. This is the call to build each other up is in light of what's just been said back in from chapter 4, verse 13, on to chapter 5, verse 10. And what's been said in those passages is Christ is going to return. Christ is going to return. And when he does, he's going to bring judgment with him. Now, Scripture calls that day, Christ's return, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's one day that's going to be both great and dreadful. Great for those who've put their faith in Christ, dreadful for those who rejected him. And so this is kind of a, you know, beforehand, the answer was, we're talking about believers, and all believers are going to have a home in heaven, whether they've passed away physically from this earth or not, they're all going to have a home in heaven, no matter what. So there's good news on top of good news. Now he's talking about some reality. Christ is going to return, and when he does, he's going to bring judgment with him. Judgment's coming. It's real. You can't escape it. There's no loophole to get out of it. It's coming. And every soul, both living and dead, is going to receive either God's wrath, dreadful, or God's grace, God's salvation, great. Every soul that's ever lived is going to receive one of those two, salvation, wrath. And if we've looked in Lamentations in some of our classes on Wednesday night. And when you look at Lamentations chapter 2, I think the whole point of chapter 2 is God has brought this punishment on Israel for their unfaithfulness. And what a dreadful thing it is to fall in the hands of a living God. God is love. We talk about there's one word that characterizes God. It's love. But God also has a side of wrath for those who have made him the fool. And so those who've lived with Christ, for Christ, will receive salvation, and those who haven't are going to receive judgment. But this is a word for the church. This is a word for Christians. This is a word for believers. And so the idea is we need to build each other up. This is what we're doing. And the word there is edification. If we're the church Jesus builds, if we're the stones, the blocks for which the church is built, we're called to build each other up. Lay a brick, set a stone, encourage one another, build each other up. The 5:11 passage, the confident expectation that believers have of a home in heaven is the tools that we use to build each other up. Whereas two aspects to the salvation that we have. One is that we are saved from God's wrath. The other, we're saved into God's glory, into God's presence. And therefore, we're called to be a construction crew. Build each other up. Just as you're doing. All right. We've got one more left, but before we get to that one, I have a couple of special ones here. Does that mean anything to anybody? We're in Oklahoma, right? I've been here long enough to figure this out. I need a dyed-in-the-wool OU fan. And I need a dyed-in-the-wool OSU fan. If you're willing to admit to either one of those. Bruce, I guess you're the best. Yeah, I noticed the shirt. So who's willing to go toe-to-toe with Bruce? I need a dyed-in-the-wool OU fan. Who? Oh, here comes Jack. All right. Now, this is a little different. You're all going to arm wrestle. No, I'm just kidding. Here you go.
No.
Oh, did I get that wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I apologize. Now, you notice there's not much room here. So the question is, which of you can get more of your sand in there before the other one gets his sand in there? Now, all right. Now, do you notice, kids, it wasn't the kids that made the biggest mess. It was the seniors among us that made the biggest mess. Do you notice who did that? All right. Now, all right, you're welcome to go back to your seat and straighten up. All right. Jack and Bruce will be back tomorrow cleaning the church building. By the way, which one of y'all won? Wrestling? All right. Let's do one more. By the way, we picked seven. We picked seven one another's. Any idea why we picked seven? First of all, I thought it would fit the allotted time. Second of all, seven's a biblical number for perfect and completion. So that means the lesson is perfectly complete when we do this last one here, right? The church Jesus builds offers hospitality to one another. This comes from 1 Peter 4:9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's why, by the way, we have a fellowship meal today. That's why we're going to stay in fellowship. And hopefully all of you who are visiting or invited to be a part of our fellowship, we would love nothing more than you to come share. Some of our master chefs have been cooking all night and getting ready for the meal here today. So hope you come and hope you come stay with us, because we are all like living stones being built into a spiritual house. We just talk about seven behaviors or seven characteristics, seven attitudes that are the mortar that holds us together, the bricks that hold us together. And I want you to notice what we've got here. If you ask me, this is far more beautiful than the jars that we had just sitting over here on the counter. Far more beautiful. It's a little random. It's a little mixed together. It's a little over the top. It's a little messy. But did you notice that not a single grain of sand lost its color, not lost its identity? Every grain of sand has maintained its identity. No one has to lose who they are to be a member of the church, to be built into the church. But what happens is they get mixed together with others to where it's almost impossible to sort them out. I challenge you to come sort this out and put it back in the jars. Right? Because it's been blended together in a way that it can't be torn apart. That's God's idea for the church. That we come together, and I get to keep who I am. I'm the crazy Texan that moved to Tulsa. I get to keep that. You get to keep who you are. You get to keep what makes you unique and special, because God created you like a fingerprint. Your DNA is one of a kind. And I love the fact that God loves variety. He makes 40,000 something different species of beetles. God loves variety. And he loves variety in his church. The worst thing you and I can do in the church is just fill it with people who look like us and think like us and dress like us and act like us. That's the worst thing we can do. It may be comfortable, but that's not the church God called us to be. That's not the church Jesus builds. Jesus builds a church that looks like this and this. It's messy, kind of like marriage, a lot like marriage. But you work through the mess. You accept one another. You bear with one another. You encourage one another. You lift up one another. You come alongside one another. You love one another. The whole idea, and the more we do this, the more beautiful this mosaic becomes. This is the church, and it can't be torn apart. God didn't design it to be torn apart. God didn't design it to be shaken up and messed up. He designed it to look just like that. This is the church that Jesus builds. This is the church that Jesus builds. So let me say this. I'm glad to see every one of you here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you decided to come to the church building to be the church. And if you don't have a church home, then we'd love for you to look at us, as imperfect as we are. Because we're trying to be the church Jesus builds. We'd love for you to look at us. Because God wants you to be part of a community. We were made for community. We were made for this. We weren't made to be standing alone all by ourselves. We were made to be this. As difficult, as challenging, and messy as it can be sometimes, this is what we were made for. Final thoughts, final. There's a book, and I can't remember the author's name, but the book says Sacred Marriage, called titled Sacred Marriage. What if God gave us marriage more to make us holy than to make us happy? That's the tagline. Sacred Marriage. What if God gave us marriage more to make us holy than to make us happy? And the idea is that God, it's not that God doesn't want us to be happy in marriage, but the rock tumbler, anybody been married long enough to feel like sometimes it's a rock tumbler? I guarantee you this, I have plenty of failings and plenty of shortcomings, and I've got lots of room to work on lots of things, but I'm a lot better off than I would be if I hadn't married this woman over here. She's helped knock off a bunch of rough edges and helped smooth out a bunch of sharp corners. And it hasn't always been easy. The same thing's true with the church family. It's supposed to be a marriage. And it's supposed to be a marriage that sometimes is tough, and it's okay. It's supposed to be a marriage that sometimes is easy, and that's great. But we're called to be this church family, the church that Jesus builds. And wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody drove to the area, and I had all kinds of, I should have gotten a bigger jar. I wanted to get somebody who's lived around here forever, who's lived in this region, Glenpool, Kiefer, Sepulpa, Bixby, Jinx. Who's been around here forever? Okay. I won't make it come forward. We're full, so you can admit that without having to feel any pressure. who's brand new? Who just moved here? Who's new to the area? Yeah, some new folks. Yeah. Who's been in Oklahoma your whole life? Yeah. We've got a lot of different people who identify as different races, different nationalities. There's a lot of folks that I thought about doing the Democrat and Republican thing, but I thought, no, this is supposed to be a love one another, and so I felt like I didn't want to out anybody. I thought that might get it. I thought I was doing enough with OU, OSU. I thought we'd take a big enough risk. We wouldn't do the other risk. We could do, you know, the King James versus NIV. There's a million different ways. But here's the point, church. Satan loves to take our individuality and try to use it as a way to divide us. Oh, well, I'm an NIV guy and you're a King James person. We can't. You're a Republican, I'm a Democrat. We can't get together. I'm from Texas. And boy, you want to talk about a major faux pas. Was it last week or week before I said Glenpool, Texas? Slashed three of my tires. That's not true. What if God made church more to make us holy than to make us happy? What if God made us into the church to make us into this? And in this we find our happiness. We're going to close with a prayer, and after that you'll be free to move about the cabin as you wish. I would like to ask, please, for our members, if we can move the further forward you can move and the further to the center you can get, the more room it leaves for visitors. The most hospitable thing we can do is not make visitors walk down front to sit in the front where we all stare at the back of their heads all service. So you do what you feel is best, but I'm going to invite you to move forward in the center as an act of hospitality. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the privilege of calling you Father and to call on your name and to come in your presence and know that you hear us and you turn your face to us. You always listen and you always do what's best. So we exercise this beautiful privilege to come before you and ask your blessings, continued blessings on this day, on each one who's here, on our church family that meets here regularly. We ask your blessings also on those who came to visit with us today, who will come to visit. Ask your blessings on our meal together. And we're thankful, Father, for this privilege of spending time with one another. We're thankful, Father, for the privilege you've given of creating us to be one another. So, Father, we are thankful for this family that we look forward to not only spending time together today, but throughout eternity. Father, we pray for those who are hurting. We pray for those who are struggling. We pray for those who are battling health issues. And we lift them up and entrust them into your care, the great physician. We know you can do all things. We ask for healing. We ask for protection. We ask for deliverance in whatever way you see fit. And Father, we do know that the permanent cure for all that ails us is to come home to be with you. So while we're here on this earth, Father, we give you permission to use us and use us in whatever way you see fit. And when that time's over with, we ask you to bring us home to be with you forever. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. We'll meet together in worship in just a few minutes.